Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I love His ways. I love His will. I love His word. I love His people. And everything that the Lord is doing is wise and has been wise. Everything He ever does is wise. God will not do anything unless it's wise. And the Lord will not do anything unless it's love. And the Lord will not do anything unless it's holy. Everything of God stems from His vast depths of love. And I love Him. And because He loved us so much, He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And that's my favorite thing beside the ability to have life through the blood of Jesus. My first favorite scripture was when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming and said, there comes the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the earth. That's another favorite. But moving on from salvation, I was so happy to be saved, to know that it's real, to know that I can go to heaven and live forever. That's precious to me. That's something I just don't forget. Now, when you look at time, it's a process. But to fathom, to take in the fact that you're going to live for billions of years, times billions of years, times billions of years, and it never ends. Now, that is something to get anybody's attention. You would think that people would hear the gospel and rejoice. But this generation, they hear the gospel, they want to put you in jail. A lot of our brothers and sisters, they killed for trying to help them live forever. But because of deception, people don't see what you see. Even among Christians, my new favorite scripture is when Jesus said in St. John 16, verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Now, that tells me that I have access to all knowledge by the Holy Ghost. And some of the things that I learned from the Holy Ghost, I want to talk about it. But people are so reluctant in this generation to... They think it's strange to hear from the Holy Ghost, even though they believe in speaking in tongues. I don't know which one is crazier, the people that hear the gospel and get mad at you, or Christians that when you say something about the Holy Ghost, they look at you sideways. But, you know, it's a lot of things are remarkable to me. But just because other people don't receive what God is saying, it's not going to stop me from enjoying God. I enjoy the Lord. I enjoy His presence. When I found out that it was real, when I came to the point that I received His word, I said, I'm not going back to that junk I used to do. I'm not going back to the way I used to think. After I've learned better, I'm not going to do that. That's not going to happen. Now, I'm saying this to say this. The Lord did His part. We got to do ours. Sometimes you're just going to have to take the high road. You're going to have to learn to be mature. You have to learn to do what's right because it's right, not because you're going to get some reward for it. And modern day Christendom has spoiled people, promising them some kind of reward if after every good deed they do. You know, send in $1,000, God's going to bless you and pay your bills and pay your house off and all this stuff. If people focus on the Lord, greater things than that will happen. I'm scared to do some of the stuff that people do on TV. I don't just think it's stupid. I'm scared to do what I see people do on TV sometimes. Now, I love all my Christian brothers and sisters. I'm not trying to bash anybody, but whenever you do something, don't forget common sense. I won't do stuff like that. The Lord will have to tell me to do some of the stuff I see people do. And I'll probably quarrel with him about it. I said, Lord, wait a minute now. That seems strange. When the Lord tells me to do something, I ask questions. Because the devil talks too. The Lord is not the only one that talked to me. Now, I got it on record where I believe God said some things, and I did research and found it out to be a lie. And I didn't throw my old notebooks away. There were times that I believed the wrong thing, and when it all went south, I went back and I said, Lord, how did this happen? And I said, this is what I don't want to do. I don't want to help Satan do nothing. And he taught me, he trained me, he helped me learn. If I follow God, I don't want to do too much because I don't want to make mistakes. I promise you, statistically, you're going to make mistakes. But don't let a mistake stop you. It's inevitable that you'll make mistakes. That's why the Holy Spirit was sent to guide us in all truth. Not just to put word on the pages, but that's what we need. It's the same reason he gave us healing through Christ. Jesus allowed them to beat and break his body. I mean, he didn't look like a man anymore. Now, he did that to pay for our healing. He did it with something else, something much greater in mind. He went to Calvary, died on the cross, so that we could live forever with God, billions times billions of billions of years with God. He did it with something greater in mind. He honored the Father. And I love this part. He did it as a man. That just messed Satan's kingdom all up. I love God. I love his people. I love what we can do. I love people that can follow the Holy Spirit beyond their confusion. They can seek the Lord and get an answer beyond their paradigm, beyond that what's in their wheelhouse. I mean, some things we just don't know. Yes, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And when the enemy speaks, when we get used to hearing the Holy Spirit, we have a comparison. When the enemy speaks, one thing the Lord taught me was this. If you don't want to get off track, whenever the enemy says something, it's going to appeal to lust, pride, or greed. There's an anxiousness with it. There's a nervousness with it. There's an unrest to it. But when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's first pure, gentle, and easy to be entreated. It's knowledge from above. The knowledge, James said, the knowledge from above is first pure, gentle, and easy to be entreated. And so many times people run with the wrong voice. And it causes problems. It causes them to think slower than they need to. It causes them to reject the knowledge of God when it comes. Just like the Pharisees, when the word came, they're standing there in their beautiful outfits with phylacteries at the bottom. And phylacteries, thanks to little Jim, he taught me that they were scriptures tied into cloth. They loved the word of God. But when the word came, they wanted him dead. And then Jesus said, watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. It eases into the church through seducing spirits. And then there's those doctrines of devils. Now the seducing spirits is subtle, a little bit. The seducing spirits, their doctrine is the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And once that seed starts growing, people stop doing what they should do. And remember, people produce people after their own kind. Now, if you're wrong, repent and do it God's way. Whatever you do, do it God's way. Don't do anything for vainglory. And you'll be safe. Stay in the love of God. The love of God is more important than prestige. See, sometimes people confuse ministry with prestige. And they want to be a certain way. They want to look a certain way. They want to act like they, you know, I've been around preachers a long time, and I've seen all types. But the ones that get the job done, they get in with the people, and they are real with the people, and they love the people, and they receive truth from the Lord. And they don't try to put on a phony, you know, attitude like they don't ever do anything. The best preachers are honest, but they seek the Lord until they know what to do. They fight the good fight. They don't fight the bad fight. They fight the good fight. They learn to be pure. They learn to deal with thoughts that shouldn't be. The wisest ones do. Some people just, they expect to be what they saw before, and that's it. But in this life, there's no limit to how far you can rise above the snake line. I got that from Perry Stone. The snakes only go so far up in elevation. The atmosphere does something to them. They won't go any further. They can't stand to be on the precipice of a mountain that's very high. There's a certain point that they won't go. And the mountain men, they mark it. They say, this is a snake line. You'll see no more snakes after this point. Different species go different altitudes, and that's it. Well, the Holy Spirit helps us to... I want to live above the snake line. So I said, Lord, help... And I talk about this so much, I'm going to skip that part. But he taught me how to live. That's why that scripture became so important to me. This is what people need after salvation. They need to know how to live far above Satan's snake line. Now, This is what the Lord put on my heart today. And it's very important. Seducing spirits have stopped many works of God. I used to wonder why the men of God that the Lord sent me to didn't follow him to his specifications, but they did things. They tried to do better than they were doing. I give them that, but it wasn't to God's specs, not to his specifications. They failed. Because the Lord showed me what would happen if they followed him and what would happen if they didn't. And the greater things that would have happened that God was trying to get to happen didn't happen. Now, but I said, why didn't they listen? Earlier this year, the Lord said it's because they took heed to seducing spirits. And I'm going to show you how it works. When people believe something, That's the reality that they've accepted. Whatever it is, good or bad. But and also the Lord taught me, you know, people that have heard me a long time, they know what how in 1988 the Lord said when I asked the Lord why didn't he show me something that would work many months before, after he gave me wisdom for my business. I could tell that wisdom would work because again, it was pure. It was from above. It was pure, gentle, and easy to be entreated. It was easy to see that this is wisdom. I said, wait a minute, Lord. You knew I needed to know that a long time ago. Why didn't you tell me then? And he said this. He said, when a man leans to his own way, he can't learn my ways. So once a people adopt a belief that happens to be wrong, it's a challenge to rise above it. It has credibility in your eyes. And if you don't challenge it, you can't learn what God has to say about it. So what the predecessors did, and they were good men of God. I've been healed by some of them, blessed by many of them. But they didn't go to the next glory, because God would have to usher you in. You can't just go to the next glory. You have to be trained for it. God has to train you for it. And you do that by walking in love and his wisdom, receiving his knowledge. Sometimes people get satisfied with knowledge that's prestigious. So, you know, sometimes knowledge can, you look good in the eyes of man. You do something that others can't do. And you feel hey, I hit the mark. There's more to it than that. There's always more. What worked in the past won't work now. What I'm saying is this. The enemy has hardened the heart of the people against the old moves of God. And he's going to do greater things. Those that follow him will be able to do it. And those who stopped following him or didn't take the, they didn't choose his perfect will for their lives and follow God into it, they won't be able to do it. They have to stay where they're at. Now, my grandmother said this. She said, the world's going to change. If you don't change, you're going to be left behind. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. The people of the world they know the past. People know what happened in the past. Some people were children and they saw these great moves of God. Sometimes they got saved, sometimes they didn't. But people talk about things that they seen, sometimes they don't. But nevertheless, people, they see the evangelists come to town, many people get saved, miracles happen, and then people get used to it. People go to church, see people get healed, but they leave depressed because their hearts are harder. It takes a greater anointing to break the new yokes that's new to humanity. The love of God will show you, first you have to get rid of what's the corruption. Sometimes corruption is embraced and God can't move in that atmosphere. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just filling up time. This is true. He didn't do a great move of God with Gideon. He knew he was going to use Gideon to do a great miraculous salvation against their enemy. He knew he was going to give Gideon's 300 man army great victory and drive out multitudes. But first, Gideon had to get rid of his daddy's stinking idols. They had to come down. All right. In modern times, it's no different. All the pet sins got to go. All the peeping at the computer got to go. People got to live holy again. And many churches say, well, you know, we know about the holiness church. They full of rules and regulations. We just do it this way. No, right is right. Wrong is wrong. Now, what the holiness church was right about, they were right about. What they were wrong about, they were wrong about. The man-made rules were wrong, but the word of God, the moral law, is still must be enforced. And God gave us the ability to do it. Jesus gave us the ability to not be trapped by sin. Christians sin if they desire to sin. And then God came working the life the same. So he gave us the ability to say no to every sin and live far above the snake line. And I enjoy the Lord. I enjoy his presence. I enjoy his people who love him. And I love him. I love walking with him. I enjoy the Lord. I talk to him as much as I can. Now, I want to share some things. It goes back to Jeremiah chapter 8, the last broadcast we did last week. It was based on Jeremiah chapter 8. Today we're going to focus on verse 3. Verse 1 says, At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of his princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun, and the moon, and the host of heaven, whom they have loved, and whom they have served, after whom they have walked, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered, nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. They shall be like animal waste, polluting the ground. That's what it's saying. This is the wicked generations of Israel, of Judah, of Jerusalem. Now watch this. These are the, you know, the priests, the prophets, kings. The ones that worship the idols. The ones that operated after the Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now watch this. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family. What evil family? The bones of those wicked people. Their generations. It says death shall be chosen rather than life. Rather than life. Rather than life. By all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places where I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. By this time, they were driven out. And where they get driven out to, they're gonna choose death rather than life. Witchcraft rather than salvation. Hate rather than love. Foolishness rather than wisdom. Death rather than life. And now you got a generation of people in modern times, and many of whose children grew up in church, they choose death rather than life, drugs rather than soberness. Then you have a breed of Christians. If you talk about what you're learning from the Holy Spirit, it'll be so strange. They don't want anything to do with it because they choose death rather than life. The Lord just told me, a week or so ago, that the Laodicean church are tares. All the things he was telling the six churches not to do, the Laodicean church was doing it. They had become lukewarm. Remember something, he was always talking to the churches. There are tares among the wheat. Two churches he didn't have to rebuke. They were doing what they were supposed to do. One had a little strength, but they were still doing what they had to do. And then five out of the seven churches, five out of the six, they had problems. And the ones that didn't repent kept doing what Jesus said don't do. Tares always do what Jesus said don't do. Tares always do exactly what Jesus said don't do, or precisely what Jesus said don't do. And the seventh church is the Laodicean church. Strange. Let's look at verse 3 again. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. Now this was written for modern day admonition. What happened in the past, he's showing us this so it won't happen in the future, but yet here it is. Some people won't listen. They do exactly what Jesus said don't do. They do exactly what the prophets of old said don't do. They do what God told Moses to tell them. They do exactly, they operate against what Moses said don't do. What Moses said do. They do the opposite of what Moses said to do. They do the opposite of what Isaiah said to do. They do the opposite of what Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Habakkuk, all the prophets. They do the opposite. They do the opposite of what John the Baptist said. Then they try to make they try to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They're fruitless, wretched, miserable, poor, no spiritual wealth, no spiritual cover, blind, they can't see their condition, naked, they have no covenant. They threw away their kingly robe. They threw away their priestly robe. The appetite is wrong. Immaturity is chosen instead of maturity. When I was immature and things used to get to me, I walked aside by myself with the Lord. Nobody around. I said, Lord, I want to do better than this. I want to do it your way. Teach me how to love your people. Teach me whatever it was, whatever the problem was. Teach me how to kill my problems. Teach me how to see what you see. Help me love people like you love your people. Now, this is repentance. Some of the things that I did, I didn't ever see anybody else doing it. Now, I've been to prayer room. I've been to prayer before. I've heard people crying out the same way. People do this. I'm not the only one. And the church that I was going to, that was a culture. What I did, they did in their own way. I took things a little further, I believe. I don't know what others have done. Some of them I have not been around since the church split. And they were good. And we loved each other even though this church split. But when you're grown and the Lord call you aside to do different things, different ministries, you know, people, you know, they spread out. That's how it works. I'm sure everybody has a wonderful testimony, things that God have done in their lives. But I can only tell you what he did in mine. And I hope the best for everyone else. God has people that walk the line. God has people, men and women of God, that learn. And they're not in the best situations. They don't have the best marriages. They want to. They do their part. But sometimes they're married to people that won't do what they should do. Some people choose death rather than life. And whatever the predecessors do, whatever the pastors do, that's what the people easily do. Most of the people are going to always do what the leadership does. Good and bad. Good and bad. But when it's death, you've got to learn to turn that off. And you always go with what God is doing. And I had to learn the things that I learned from the Lord. I learned these things, though I had pastors that didn't do what I was doing. And sometimes I would talk about it or want to share it, but it was lightly, it was taken lightly. And I've seen it taken lightly so much that it was mind-boggling. I said, Lord, why is it going this way? Why is it this way? What's wrong? Why are people so hard-hearted? And here's the answer right here. Death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts. This generation, you know, the king of Assyria drove out Israel. The king Nebuchadnezzar drove away the tribe of Judah and the remaining, you know, Benjamin, the remaining tribes. Now, just like that happened then, here it is again in the Laodicean church is the modern church. And that's like our mainstream church. Just like there are tares among the wheat, there's also wheat. But corruption, a little leaven leavens the lump. So I said, Lord, he told me what he would do if the leadership of that day wouldn't follow him. He showed me what he would do. He said he was going to raise up people that would. But the revival that's going forward now, he went around the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church knows nothing about this revival. They are clueless about it. In fact, God hid it from them. They can't see it, and they don't know where to go to find it. The Lord said, "Man, this revival, man can't stop." I'm going to be bold a minute. I'm saying this because of something else that the Lord told me. The Lord said he has people that can't be controlled with money. They can't be controlled with lust. They can't be controlled with greed. They can't be controlled with pride. Which means that there are people that can be. There are preachers that take bribes from governments, from rich people, from the enemy. And there are people that they have prostitute friends. And they do corrupt stuff to turn the church off, to turn the anointing off. Remember, in Acts, the enemy said, "I got to stop this," and he figured out a way to do it. If he can get the leadership, he can take the whole lot of them down. And most people love that pastor, which is, I love mine. And there are good pastors out there. And all the good ones, my hat's off to them. I love them. But the corrupt ones cause a problem that they don't see. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family.